Just making sure. EO, are you headed to Foundry?
Foundry.
Sounds like the answer is I am now.
Yeah.
Right.
That so sounds cool.
Looking at these buttons, we've got AC, we've got HEAT, which I believe is an acronym for something or other. I can't remember what. And we've got start recording. What does that do?
Did you already push it, Crash?
I mean, now it says stop recording.
I don't think you should touch that.
I was expecting a bunch of little plastic flutes to appear.
Do we even know what plastic is?
I mean, we break the fourth wall often enough.
Is fourth wall made of plastic then?
Oh, it's sort of plastic on the other side of the fourth wall. Well, I do at least. I can see through things.
Well, of course you can see through things if they're clear. Everybody can do that.
No, I see through my hat just fine. It's not clear.
Your hat is full of holes.
Not clear, though.
Might as well be.
It's as opaque as my metaphors.
Well, maybe we should hush up so that the GM can do her intro.
Previously on Plus Ultra, the GM, for all her preparation, forgot to write an introduction, so she's going off her notes. Oops. Having found their missing Ugog friend, Abe, I think it was Abe, right?
I think so.
Having found their missing friend, Abe, in the depths of a Giona cavern, where they also found a set of forges, all still functioning after 500 years, thanks to the work of the Giona who were present, and they also found the Giona who were present, and they also found, way at the back, the vast skeleton of one of the great dragons. The Giona, having found the adventurers, introduced themselves and described their version of the events of the war that started the Mage Storms. The PCs learned some backstory, whether they believe it is another matter. And having sent Abe back to the Ugog Hive and resolved to reinforce the wards on the entrance to the cavern, since apparently they'd failed in the intervening 500 years, the Giona said that if the adventurers wanted more information, they might want to check with the sky in the monastery in the mountains above. So the adventurers went to see the monastery and the adventurers above. And as they neared the monastery, they heard one of the people in the rock garden say, "Whoa, is that what I think it is? It's people. Hey, Jose!" And go running. And the name of the place is the Sky Monastery in the mountains. It's the middle of winter. This is Plus Ultra. My name is Ellie. I'm joined by Beth, Crash, and EO. Jen is absent due to, well, pollen. And
a map is loading.
A map is loading. Let me know if you can see anything, because I don't have a Game Master account. I haven't been able to actually test it.
There is no token in this. I don't have a token, it claims.
I thought you did have a Game Master account.
I should have a token, shouldn't I?
I have an admin account, but not a Game Master account, I don't think. Anyway, I'll just turn off token vision.
Now I can see it.
Is that better?
Yes. Ooh, there's snow. I can see
people.
Everything.
And no rules walls. For luck from Tales of the Valiant, because they were doing that.
Yes.
Love it.
I have added the luck rabbit to this map. This is a reference to World of Warcraft, where everything is, like, all the area of effects and regional effects are caused by rabbits, invisible rabbits.
Oh, right. They're load-bearing, like the load-bearing coconut in programming thing. Cool.
I'm going to have to look and see how you added snow to this map, because I actually wanted rain to be added to the map that we have for Circulus.
Oh.
And I wasn't able
to. You right-click on the map, go to Configure. Go to the Ambiance tab, and at the bottom is Weather Effect.
Okay, I'm returning this to Setup Mode so I can add that right now. No, I'm not doing it. That would be horrible.
It's in map configuration. Anyway, you have set down in the snow just to the southeast of the rock garden. There's a little river that crosses through the rock garden and makes a pond just to your northeast, and then continues off to the east. You see, to the northwest, there is a rectangular building. with three smaller silos behind it. Just to your north is a circular building that has a roof but no walls, and it has pillars holding the roof up. And inside you see a whole bunch of beds and rugs. And then to the northeast of that is a larger circular building with the same structure, with long wooden tables, a whole lot of chairs, and some rugs on the outside.
How are the roofs constructed? Is this like a yurt with no walls, or is it like a wooden roof? Or
it's a slate roof. Not a slate roof. One of those, like the terracotta domed tiles. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, yes.
The rectangular building seems to be of a different construction style, and it does have walls. But you can see in through a window on the side, and there is a fireplace with a fire going. To your west, there are terraces of farms that are currently wintered over. And to the northeast, south of the larger round, it basically, if you make a triangle between the centers of the round buildings, that's the northwest corner of what looks like a garden that's also been wintered over. And there are rock paths leading between the various buildings and the rock garden.
Well, it's good to see they're doing something with all the rocks they've been growing in the garden.
Yeah. Once they get big enough, you take them out and you put them in the path.
Seems reasonable to me.
Works better than that potato path we had back home.
Got pretty muddy and people digging up potatoes.
My concern is people kept baking them first. Made them all mushy.
Worst way to make a road is with mushy potatoes.
Yeah, whose idea was that anyway?
I think it was yours.
I beg your pardon. I have much worse ideas.
Oh, I've noticed. You wanted eggplants, too, for color.
I'm just saying it would have added a nice accent.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh, you do also hear the sounds of some livestock off in the distance? You're not sure. The mountains make it hard to tell which direction it's coming from.
We're surrounded.
Well, they do come and stare at people. Little sheep and whatnot. Goats. Goats definitely stare at you.
Okay, I think we've done enough possibly non-canon banter. Although, with old Rob stories, who's to tell?
Exactly.
Is there a designated spot to cross this river, or is it just all...
There's a particularly narrow spot about 15 feet north of you. You can just step across.
It's no big deal. Look, I'm on the south side. I'm on the north side.
Well, I'm going to just wait right here. Make sure that we're invited and people aren't going to come out with, I don't know, pointy sticks or something with rocks on them.
I mean, that one guy ran ahead. They already know we're here.
Yes.
They probably would have come out with pointy sticks or the equivalent by now.
You'd think.
She comes back with a taller, bald Sky. Not so much dragged behind her as, like, he's coming reluctantly, but he is coming of his own volition.
He is.
See, look, I told you.
He's coming because he's choosing to be here, but the person leading him is perhaps more enthusiastic about it.
Yes.
Dragged along by enthusiasm, not by coercion.
Also, I have to point out before the plot moves forward, because it will begrudgingly move forward, I do love the fact that we went to the top of a mountain to see the sky.
Yes.
This is true.
Thank you, Ellie.
And it's snowing, which means that the sky is cloudy.
No, the sky is bald. That's been addressed.
That too.
And yeah, the sky is
the GM will have her little jokes.
Wouldn't have it any other way. Hello there! The player is immediately lamenting that his character is built to be the people person.
Uh-huh. Well,
as the other characters also lament this.
Hello.
No, it's fine.
So, what brings you here?
A flying cart.
Kersinda keeps him from pointing, grabs his hand from pointing, and, great, he talked.
Look, they already saw us coming in for a landing. If one of them knows, they probably all know at this point. especially since the one who saw us is, let's just say you are not doing anything to curb your enthusiasm. This is not a negative trait, just an observation.
I think
she is curbing her enthusiasm, but with visible effort.
So long as she doesn't wonder how much a banana costs.
Oh, dear.
I think
that's a different show.
It means, why are we here?
Oh, one, we could, which was not always the case. And two, we have questions about dragon gods and time travel.
About time magic in general.
Well, yes.
And the risks thereof.
Where are you from?
Oh, right. Dunport. Originally we weren't Dunport.
Yeah, it survived.
Dunport's where we spread out from. Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, most of
the,
it survived.
The woman pipes up. Well, we just thought we were the only ones.
Well, that's what we thought, too.
No, turns out Dunport, most of Dunport, the royalty not so much, but the people of Dunport survived, and we've met some Yona, and we've met some, I'm blanking on the name of what Abe and Ute are.
Ugogs.
We met some Yona, we've met some Ugogs. We met a statue that's just standing around until someone orders it to do something, which might be bad. Met some mushroom people. That was bad. Most people are good, though.
They weren't really... They weren't
mushroom people?
Yeah.
People are infecting and killing.
There was
people
that.
Isn't quite the right. I won't call them people. I mean...
You have to tell me all... She looks up at the taller, blonde, bald one. I will have to ask you about that at a later date.
Don't worry. Yeah. Old Rob will be happy to tell you about that at a later date.
I will be happy to share that information with only minor corrections from my colleague here.
Uh-huh. Because you try to make it more exciting.
The taller one looks down. Sarai, given the way they're talking and the length at which they're talking, perhaps you'd better go set a couple extra places for dinner.
Oh, bless
you. Of course. She looks like she has about 3 million questions, but then runs off. She does not go directly through the, you know how this works.
Uh-huh. Her animated sprite does not immediately freeze frame and then slide through because the animators just took that one cell and moved it across the screen.
Right.
Yes.
That was yesterday's game.
Indeed.
So the bald sky, who has long pointed ears and has eyebrows, but no other hair, is quite tall, taller than any of you, and is wearing a green cloak over a blue shirt and with a red pendant around his neck, crosses his arms and says, "All right, perhaps you'd better begin by giving me your names."
Well, I hope you don't plan to keep them, because if I have to pick a new one after all this time, I'm Karasinda.
I have no power or desire to keep your names. I'd just like to know what to call you.
Evan. Karasinda. Introduce,
Adelina.
Yeah, introduce Adelina as well. And that is old Rob.
How'd you do?
Well, I was doing well, and then my world was upended.
Yeah, tell me about it. And this over here, the quiet one with their nose in a book, as they make the book longer, is Devin.
Hmm? Yes.
Devin, are you not
hearing me? I gathered that.
Just heard you say one syllable, and then you asked, are you not hearing me?
Oh. I've been talking.
I heard you.
Okay.
I don't know if OBS heard you, but...
OBS probably not.
Uh-oh. Does OPS hear EO now?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yes, Devin introduced himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Why don't you come inside out of the snow?
Ah, bless you.
I have successfully defeated the door monster.
I don't think that's,
It. On other maps, it has been a concern. Perhaps not in this game so much, but it has been.
Yeah.
There are three more sky... sitting in front of the fire, Inside this rectangular building, the first thing you notice, if you care to, is that the floor is different from the floorboarding in the other buildings. And, well, there are walls and doors and windows rather than just columns around the edges. In the center of the building are a pair of fireplaces, both lit. They're fairly low slung, so even sitting in the chairs and couches, you can see over top of them. And in the chairs closest to the doors are three other Sky. One dark-skinned and brown-haired, one medium-skinned and black-haired, and one light-skinned and red-haired. Azahara.
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Curiosity question about the fireplaces. Do they have chimneys that go up to the roof, or is this more like a Franklin stove type situation where the smoke is pulled downward and then through a piping system, or is it something else entirely?
They have chimneys on the facing the fireplace. It's the right hand side.
Okay.
Small enough so that you can see past them.
All right.
It's designed not to block the view, or to block it as little as possible. But yes, they do have chimneys.
Okay. We will not have another 20-minute discussion about where the water comes from the fountain.
Yes. Azahara, Ibelis, Anibal, we have guests.
Waggle fingers, hello.
Old Rob, Karasinda, Devin, Adelina. We're guests.
Hi there.
Old Rob did shake the snow off his hat before entering, by the way.
Azahara, who has black hair and is wearing a sort of a black and gray robe and a white shirt with a green scarf, and Ibelis, who has red hair, just sort of turn halfway in their seats and glance at you. But Anibal, who has sort of medium length brown hair, stands up and comes over. Hello. I can't remember the last time we had visitors, but it's a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise.
Good to meet you too. Definitely.
Yes. So, I have to ask, what brought you up the mountain?
Flying cart.
Old Rob will look at Karasinda as if to say, you wanted to smack me for saying that earlier.
In fact, that was a Jose, different the bald one, looks at Anibal and says, they are never going to get tired of making that joke.
I thought that was actually joke? Asking how we got.
No, I mean, like, why are you here? What? Jose, when's the last time we had visitors? Oh, well, let's see. I'd say about 500 years ago. Yeah, that's what I thought. So,
who visited 500 years ago? Were we?
Well, our like great 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 something grandparents did.
Does that count as a visitor?
They got stuck here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone who survived got stuck somewhere.
We are the descendants of the Sky, who had come to this monastery to train and to meditate.
Well, I got good news and bad news. The good news is the wild magic is receding, so travel is a bit more possible now. The bad news is the wild magic is receding, so travel is a bit more possible now.
And you might get visitors whether or not you want them.
Annabelle looks back at the other two. We might have to roll some rocks down the pass or something. Does everybody have a flying car where you come from?
Nope.
We found it in the Fallen City.
The what now?
The Mage City. It used to fly.
Oh, the old academy. Mm-hmm. Wow, we've been wondering what happened to that.
Turned to glass and fell down.
Yep.
Oh, that must have been Sacnik Day. Gosh. Golly.
Mm-hmm. So,
with the magic out of control like that, we just sort of assumed all the dragons were dead.
One of them currently is.
Oh, that's too bad. Yes, it's sometimes disappointing to have your assumptions verified.
Rob, why don't you fill everybody in and I'll just correct you when you get a little bit too off topic.
So there is a fade out and fade in with the fire burned down a bit more or built up a bit more, depending on how much wood was put on the fire in the interim. Old Rob has gone through the previous 24 episodes, perhaps leaving out some details, and getting smacked every five sentences because he decided to embellish when he wasn't supposed to. Everyone now Jose, has an asset for adventuring.
Jose will not have let you start without him going and getting Sarai so that she can listen, because otherwise she would have murdered him.
We don't want any sky to fall.
No.
Well, it takes old Rob a moment to get settled anyway, so that works. But at the end of the story, everyone has an asset in not adventuring, thanks to old Rob's anecdote ability.
An asset in staying the Criff home.
That was not what the story was about, unfortunately.
Alas. I see. An asset in, no, we're not adventuring, really. We're just traipsing around the place for reasons.
Hey, Percy.
Oh, you can hear him?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm going to do an info dump in the chat that the players will find interesting and listeners will not find useful.
Ah.
Oh, this is a retreat for Sky who wish to spend time away from society. Well, the monkey paw curled.
It's
yes, it did.
That's the curliest monkey paw ever. Well, maybe not ever, but it's definitely up there.
It's... Oh, and the second paragraph starts with, there is a substantial philosophical library. We are never getting Devin out of here.
Not never. I mean, just as long as he can come back, I'm sure that we can get him out of here a little bit.
No, I'm well aware that there are also a great many books in other locations.
Exactly. We can get Devin out because other books exist elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
One of us stands by the door of the library, waving a book around, going, psst, 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 psst.
Yep, like a cat.
Get over here, Sarai.
For the listeners at home, we are being moved by the GM to all be in different chairs around the fireplaces.
Aww. Yep.
And I am wishing that I could see the names of the NPCs when I mouse over them.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to configure that.
Yes, they all have a hostile surrounding, too. Because that's what an NPC defaults to when you create them in Foundry. Most of the time, we just ignore that.
I'm going to call them...
I am struck by how much the one who initially greeted us looks like Solas.
It was not intentional.
I figured.
So, starting at the top right and going around, I am going to call them Red, Scarf, Smiles... we already know Old Robin Carasenda. Right. The next one around that is supposed to name Sarai, I'm going to call Target Audience.
No.
Look, they are very interested in stories. Old Rob is very interested in telling stories. Old Rob is also very interested in hearing stories and will be asking questions. Which
there
I imagine
will be a quiz after this.
Which I imagine is aided by the info dump that Ellie has placed in chat.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Whoop.
Okay.
Hello again.
Yes, I hit reload on the wrong thing.
Oops.
I have reordered the NPCs primarily because Ibelis, their name wasn't displaying over the other icons.
Yeah, there is a layering that just involves which icons were placed first.
Yeah.
Which is really only evident when there's overlap.
Obviously, they were just sort of shifting around, etc. Okay, Carasenda, while this is going on, would very much like to use her, well, if she can do so subtly, do the medical scan thing, partly to try to figure out who's related to who in which direction, because this does not look particularly like a, what's the right word?
They look to be a genetically diverse group, but there's not enough of them.
To be a genetically diverse group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
there's at the very least a genetic bottleneck somewhere, and she will is also probably going to, if a opportunity ends up there, ask how long Sky lived, by the way. But yes, she would like to know things about this group biologically because, well, it's her special interest because she's a healer.
Okay. The obvious sisters are sisters.
The obvious sisters being
Soraya and Azahara, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ones with...
Yep. Azahara's... Okay.
The ones with black hair.
Uh-huh.
The rest of them are actually fairly distantly related. Like, maybe fourth or fifth cousins.
That's fascinating as heck.
It implies that they've been here for... Did they say great-grandparents? So...
There was some wibbly-wobbly on how many greats.
Yeah. Jose is the oldest. Ibelis is probably the youngest.
Are Ibelis and Jose related?
No.
Okay.
Not in any sense that you would call related. Jose and Anibal are he, him, by the way. Azahara and Sarai are she, her, and Ibelis is they, them.
Okay.
Just...
Yeah.
It will have come out in conversation.
You might want to add the pronouns so I don't forget. On the mouse over.
Fair.
I'm bad enough with names, so having to mouse over on the names, so...
Old Rob is definitely going to be using the gather intelligence ability he has to... Basically, that's another way he's getting the two paragraphs of info dump that you've provided.
Fair enough.
But it is an interesting question, and I'm not sure... Well, the player doesn't know how to delicately ask this question, but same thing that Karasinda's wondering. Like,
where's everybody else?
There's two people here who are related. Everyone else is very much only distantly related. Where is everyone?
Well, at the other complexes. Yeah, this was... There are about a dozen. In fact, we're all just down here to check on this one, mostly. It's pretty lucky you showed up when you did. Otherwise, there would have just been an empty monastery. Well, this one would have. Yes, it's... You caught me as I was doing the tallying for the silos.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no. The silos aren't going anywhere.
One hopes.
Certainly hope not.
And the grain and the apples and the wine seem to have held up.
Ah, that's good. Well, I suppose that I should better explain why we're here. We were advised to consult you on the matter of time magic and its risks. I don't know what knowledge survived among the other enclaves of survivors, I suppose, but a great deal of our magical knowledge was lost. And in some cases, even I have to admit that perhaps some of it was better not in the hands of the people it was in the hands of, at least. But the result is that we know little of the matter, and someone has been intent on abusing it against us.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Gosh.
Someone had our town burnt down around everybody's ears, practically.
Oh, I think I wouldn't like that.
No. And they took the people and sent them across time.
Separated.
Yes.
We only avoided it because we were outside of the town borders at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a spell I know about. Sarai, do you remember reading about anything like that? Well, let me think. Perhaps while Sarai thinks, we could adjourn to the dinner table. Probably a good idea, yes. It is getting a little bit late, isn't it?
I suppose it is. Thank you for your hospitality. I hope that it is not a brain at this time of year.
Oh, not at all. We always stock more than we need, just in case.
Yeah, we've got stuff in our own packs that ought to share with everybody. Although it's, you know, whey bread and whatnot.
Oh. No, I think I would prefer my meals if I were me and if I were you. Whey bread has its uses, but not compared to fruit and meat.
Making sure that we are, in fact, invited as opposed to go away while yes. we eat and come back.
No, you're invited.
Okay.
It's Jose's turn to drag Sarai along as she is lost in thought about this time travel business.
I have made a select old
dragon drop. Wait, now I'm on the table. Back up, back up.
There. Why are you running away from me? Oh, all right.
The GM's making sure you can't smack me with that stick if I tell another story.
I have made a lot.
It doesn't have a 10-foot reach, though.
We'll see. Sorry.
I've made some number of notes on the matter. It would help to know them. There is a secondary component to this, which is that we came into the possession of an item that also relies on time magic. It is our only method of seeking out those who are missing, but we found through trial and error that it is not a loop in which everything has already happened, including the changes. We have returned and found things different.
Really? I wonder how much you can change.
Probably rather a lot.
We spoke to a wizard who would not have escaped the destruction we found of the old academy, and when we returned, their tower was intact when it had been ruined.
Oh, well, gosh, that's neat.
It is, but I fear the results if we and the one who took our people are chasing each other across time, altering things.
Yeah, that's a good point. She gets lost in thought again. Annabelle speaks up. Well, I don't know much about time magic. I know it's associated with Saknique Day, and if your devices, well, I don't want to say that, but can I see the device?
Devin hands it over. He's a little cautious about it, but
oh, you don't have to give it to him. He literally just wants to see it.
Ah, yeah. Devin will take it out then and...
Ah, so it is a totem to Saknique Day. I know it's worn and damaged, but I'd recognize it anywhere.
But, yeah, thought so. Have we mentioned the Giona yet?
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
That's what Giona said.
Uh-huh.
Then... Well, the damage may be, I can't speak for all of them, but the ones that I've read about allowed you to control where and when you were going, but it also didn't allow you to make changes.
Likely got affected by wild magic.
That could be.
Either that or by Saknique Day's absence. If Saknique Day controlled time magic and... Now, time magic is not under anyone's hand. It may have lost
protection.
The laws that governed it may have decayed. Or at least that's how it sounded like it might happen. Considering that the dragons seem to be dead or disappeared in large part, and that coincides with the wild magic occurring and the fact that they governed magic. Forgive me, I do not have true expertise in this. There is only what can be pieced together.
Oh, of course. And at the same time, Ibelisse, who has not said word once so far, says, well, let me see it. Let me hold it. Examine it.
All right.
Click it.
Just don't push the clicky thing on it.
No, of course not. I know how these work. Now let's see. Yes. The tracings are also here. This is correct. No, I think your theory is sound. Yes, this looks like it should work properly. The wear is all the frippery, what do you call it?
You're saying it's cosmetic damage.
Yes, cosmetic damage, exactly. It's the functionality should all still be there. So, but these draw on Sacnicte's power directly. So if Sacnicte is not controlling the time magic, then, well, it might have unpredictable effects. That's why they were able to be given out, because Sacnicte was overseeing their use. Well, here, anyway, I'll give it back to you. And she falls silent again. They fall silent again. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I very late swapped their gender in Azahara's.
These things, they happen, yes.
I admit some small part of me had hoped that because they were of Sacnicte, that there was still some sort of protection left, that it would not allow things to go too far from how they had, but...
Well, it's possible. I mean, well, were there any other effects? Did you notice anything else?
That was the main one we witnessed, I believe. It's fascinating that we remember how things were before.
Also, the things we did sort of were still there. We made a fireplace out of the old stairway, and there were soot marks where we'd left soot, but not above where the stairway was. Where it was now a real stairway.
And if the top of the tower hadn't been ruined, we would never have built a fireplace there.
Right.
But we did. It seems as though time is altered, but only history is altered, but only from the point that we, or at least our actions as they were, remain because we're the ones who changed things.
The changes are there, they're not evenly distributed.
Bit disconcerting.
There's also a possibility, the name again, Sacnicte?
Sacnicte.
Sacnicte. This is the player's problem. The player is trying to get this right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there isn't evidence that they died. They just, their presence isn't felt anymore.
That's correct.
Okay. There's a chance.
You know that Siyu died.
No.
You know that Gulshan died. The assumption is that Ulawasei died. Or Oluwasei. I can't pronounce him either. The presumption is that Oluwasei died, but also nobody's found a body, and Daggersk is still around.
So, the Time Warden, Dragon God person, whose name I still am unable to pronounce, that's a failing on my part, they might still be around. They've withdrawn, certainly, but things went really bad 500 years ago. If the changes weren't being made from time travel back in its heyday because they were overseeing things, if they're still around, what's to stop them from allowing changes as a way of steering people in the right direction?
Ooh, or at least the direction they want. Thought.
Well, I'm good at coming up with things that may or may not be true.
It's a truth.
Yeah, but every good story has a seed of truth in it. And the truth is, we go and make some changes. Some things take effect. Some things don't. We haven't done enough changes, and I'm not sure I want to really get a grasp on why some things stick and others don't. Saying there's some intelligence
that's enforcing changes or not enforcing changes at this point makes just as much sense as anything else. There's also the thing where, well, this doohickey that we have seems to recharge itself when we are close to wild magic.
You know, the one who sent all our people wherever got no idea if he had any kind of guardrails on that to make them not change things after he sent them.
Our understanding is they were scattered so far and wide, and not by us, would we notice?
I wouldn't think we would, but we might still be hitting the effects of it.
Thinking about it kind of makes my head hurt.
It makes my head hurt so much. This time nonsense is ugh.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. It's why Saknikde had a special relationship with the sky, like Siyu did with the Giona, or Gulshan did with the Sari. Do you know if the Sari survived, by the way?
The Sari are the ones that... Devon, what are the Sari?
The Sari are the serpent people.
Haven't met any yet, but...
Well, if you survived and we survived, then there's always hope. During this whole thing, Jose and Azahara have been getting up and going off to a separate kitchen area and bringing out successive courses of food. Apples and pears, bread, a thick tuber and meat stew.
Aracinda's been trying not to ask if she can help because...
They would not have let you.
Exactly. She has a suspicion that guests. This doesn't mean that she hasn't been sort of having to stifle herself.
Well, now that dinner has been finished, Jose looks out at the sky. Looks up.
And we see additional sky just standing there in the above us.
No, not in the rafters.
Jose, what do you think you're doing? Between the storytelling and the extended dinner, it is quite late. And while we have been delighted for you to join us for a meal, I am afraid we are not quite on terms where we can offer you beds. Do you have somewhere you can sleep for the night?
Oh yeah, we can just go back to the cart and press the hot air enters the cart thing.
It would actually only take you about an hour to fly back to the tower from here.
Get back to the tower.
Well, we will not request a doggy bag. We will not request a doggy bag.
We have plenty of food. We don't need a doggy bag.
Sarai opens her mouth and Jose says, no, you may not go back to the tower with them. Oh, but okay. But are you going to come back tomorrow so we can keep talking?
Yes, and if you would like, I go there and see if there's...
Oh, you did just cut out there.
Sorry. If you'd like, I could look through the texts there that I could bring that would be of interest.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, that would be very nice of you. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, then.
How long will you be staying at this location?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Karasinda was giving a thank you, and old Rob was asking how long they were planning on staying here, since this isn't where they tend to stay normally.
We have another 2 or 3 days before we go back up to the main complex.
All right.
We'll meet you here tomorrow. Have a good night.
You too. Sleep well, everyone.
We have to drive safe. There's deer on the roads.
Hopefully not flying ones. I don't think it's that part of winter yet. Do you see me grinning?
For the record, my queue of edited shows, the stuff's going live in August at the point that I'm editing now. This might be going live in September-ish. We're getting closer. Ellie's going to have to start thinking of a Christmas episode because you know Ellie is going to do a Christmas episode.
A very special, yes.
As you clamber back into the flying car, which you're going to have to give a name at some point, and that's start making your way back to the tower, one nagging thought occurs to Karasinda. based on the conversations that were had earlier in the evening and the scanning that you did. If Professor Beeble didn't survive the fall of the city the first time, how was he Adelina's ancestor? Let's take a 5-minute break.
All right.
And that's when I said, punchline. Have I said that joke before?
Once, twice.
Well, why didn't you stop me? You usually stop me.
No, I just wanted to see if you'd come up with another one.
I hadn't heard it before, and I thought it was good.
Oh, well, that's
thank you, mysterious, ominous voice.
You just met me.
See? Exactly.
I thought we went back to the car by now. Did he come with us?
No.
Having gone back to the tower to, quote, your, unquote, beds, and having had a good night's sleep and a reasonable breakfast, not of whey bread. Everyone press the long rest button.
Harrison is going to see if we have anything that we can bring as a proper gift to, you know, cuz. Since any books are allowed.
Yeah, I think I recall that Devin was going to look through the library for anything of use.
Yes, but that's going to be a loan. We know that.
Yeah, well. So you're heading back up to the monastery?
Yep. Mm-hmm. As far as I know.
Okay. With your gifts, possibly some very well-preserved wine, or, I don't know, something. You'll find something that Jose and the others will appreciate.
Yeah. Gotta find some. If nothing else, I swear I will go foraging out for fascinating seeds of things that would work out maybe on a different growing zone that they don't think they have. Use my living off the land ability. Sorry, go.
Okay. As you approach the monastery, you see Sarai in the rock garden with a rake, raking the gravel, and occasionally looking up in the sky with her, it's still snowing up here, with her hand over her eyes and scanning the horizon. When she sees your car, she jumps up, drops the rake, and starts running over to where she thinks you're going to land.
Aww.
That one worries me.
I mean, it's a kid, eh?
Well, yeah, but the thing about being a kid who loves stories, one of two things is going to happen. Well, three things. They could grow up and lose that spark and become boring. That happens. They could grow up and be someone like me, someone who likes to tell stories and hear new ones. Or they could become an adventurer. It's that third one that worries me the most, although the first one isn't so good.
I'm sure we'll find out.
I keep clicking on the wrong chat to reply to things.
Whoops.
It doesn't seem so bad.
She is waving as you land. Hey, hi. Welcome back. I'm so glad you came back.
All right. Hello.
I could not sleep last night, so I went up to the library and I brought back all the books I could carry on time travel magic.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
That's
It wasn't a whole lot of books. I don't carry very much, but, you know, maybe it's something. I try to pick the important ones.
This is what I could find. And Devin will show what he could find. It might be relevant. He tried to prioritize relevant things, but if he couldn't find enough of those, well,
he looked
for other things that might be useful.
The downside is the Wizard Tower would not have had a book about history over the past 500 years.
Yeah.
May actually open your character sheet. Go ahead and make me a d20 roll. You can add magical theory and research.
All right. I will also reset my number of points to the normal number of points.
Yes.
And remember, if you fail, you get a luck point.
What base and difficulty?
Let's call it 3.
Okay.
That's a 19 on the die.
Well, that easily beats base difficulty 3.
You do 2 points of damage to Sarai.
No!
Well, okay. You beat a difficulty Hang on, I actually have to do math here. You put a level of effort into it. You had two assets. So you would have beat a difficulty 9. So that's how many books you found to bring with you.
Oh, excellent. Devin has found 9 books.
Oh, gosh, that's... Wait, do all your books do that?
I figured out a method with which to convince them to be portable.
Oh, that would have made last night so much easier.
I might be able to show you.
Oh, that would be so nice of you. Well, let's get your books out of the snow and into the gathering house. Or do you want to do it at the tables? All my books are in the gathering house.
Let's do it in the gathering house, then. That should be easier.
Okay. She will lead the way.
Once again, there's 2 of them.
Yeah. There's so much 2 of them.
I can't help but notice that this house has a totally different architectural feel to it than the others.
Our grandparents had to build it.
Ah. Also, I cannot walk through walls.
Yeah, but most people can't. I think.
Well, that was the whole door boss thing again. This time I did not defeat it.
Sorry.
Whoops.
I tried to make it the right size.
Well, it is the right size, but I tried to go in diagonally.
Ah.
Oh, no. Yeah. There we go.
Devin had to do the same thing as me.
Yeah, I'm not very good at the foundry doors. I managed.
Sarai leads the way in, says, "Hey, everybody, they're back." You get a hello from Annabal and some light grumbling from the other two, and then they go back to their conversation.
Wave, wave.
I hope we're not imposing.
So, yeah, you haven't seen Jose yet. Oh, no, not imposing at all. Just engrossed in the conversation.
Well, that's good to know.
They seem to be debating the finer philosophical points of a philosopher you've never heard of.
Old Something Roberts. About you go.
Whether an arrow can ever reach its target.
Old Rob will sit and listen without interjecting at all.
Okay. Sarai's books are up here in the corner where it is still warm, but there's no danger of fire.
That makes sense.
And she sits down just on the floor and starts thumbing through one of her books. So, and she starts going through like the table of contents. And so this one's got, this one's just like a basic primer on time travel. I've read it a couple of times and I'm not 100% sure I understand the subject anymore, but it might be worth reading through.
Oh, definitely. Since we don't really know the first thing about it.
Indeed. It's, as I said, we've only had what?
Right, you haven't had a full library.
Yeah.
Gosh, this must have been... You had all those people and only the barest ideas about magic. And we had all this information about magic and nobody to talk to about it, except us. And trust me, when you're stuck in a monastery for hundreds and hundreds of years, everybody reads all the books.
Well, Devin, look, trade books and you can have a nice little reading party. See? New books.
Hey, that sounds fun.
I do see. And I appreciate this a great deal.
You see Annabelle's ears perk up when at the term reading party, but he consciously redirects his attention back to the conversation. So yeah, you can sit here and learn about time travel and Sarai can learn about whatever you brought back.
And Karasinda wants to produce the various seeds and whatnot that she might have found outside. I feel she would have tried to get some that she doesn't know if they're ones that will thrive here or not, but thought that you might like some interesting new plants and whatnot.
Oh, I haven't seen those kind before. What kinds of seeds are those?
Well, this one's for, they're probably all edible and or medicinal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody present has ever seen a carrot. They have like potatoes and radishes and that's it, as far as vegetables go.
It's like a potato, but it grows pointy and you can't just sort of cut them the same way you cut up a potato and plant them. They don't grow the eyes. She'll explain carrots.
You've got carrots, you've got parsnips, you've got celery, you've got lettuce, you've got cabbage. Some of it, and not the colors that we on Earth are used to, but mm-hmm. still. And you've got a wide array of medicinal herbs, including some of the nightshades that they don't have.
Explain how everything works, etc.
Oh, and you have peppers.
Ooh, spicy.
And Annabelle, at least, is most grateful for you bringing this up. It will diversify their herb garden quite a bit, and vegetable garden, and just garden in general.
If you want some flowers, I can probably fetch some of those too. You know, stuff that's just for pretty.
Oh, flowers we've found. We have to have special flowers to grow up here in the mountains.
Mm.
What with the climate being what it is.
Well, it's cold, yeah. Probably don't want to build greenhouses.
We can preserve the vegetables and the herbs, but we only have the strains that were planted here when our ancestors were stuck here. So, you know, we make do with what we have. We have the wheat and the barley. We have the apples and the pears. And we have the potatoes and the radishes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder.
And the cows and the sheep.
What's cow?
You know what a cow is. You don't know what a horse is.
Right. Cows are those things that they had to breed real small to fit into things.
We know what a cow is. We just don't know that they aren't purple.
Right.
And small.
And only moo. They don't sing.
That too.
And oddly enough, most of them are not perfectly spherical.
Gonna bop old Rob again. Gonna bop old Rob.
Oh, that reminds me.
That was a crash.
How did you survive the mage storm?
Dunport.
What about Dunport?
Might be holy ground.
Holy to what? I don't understand.
What are the tall giant one?
The Tuwati?
Yeah, because I think I remember that there was some discussion about the Dunport being holy to the Tuwati.
I don't think location. We strictly know how we survived the mage storms.
Dunport wasn't affected. I think it might be because the Tuwati thought it was a special place. So, might have something to do with that?
That's so strange. I don't think I've ever heard anything about that. But, well, as is obvious, our books don't cover everything.
Well,
as far as we know, that whole land south of us was... I mean, this monastery and Dunport were founded at about the same time. And before that, that whole land south of us between the mountains was all Tuwati land.
I hope they're... Some of them are okay, at least, somewhere.
She is incidentally dying to ask about Devon's appearance, but has not done so yet.
Oh. Devon has not necessarily realized this, presumably. Probably mention, you know, yeah, Dunport, mostly human and Felta, and, I mean, you know, don't have anyone else, just humans and Felta, really, if I recall correctly. And, well, the Wild Touch, which counts as human and Felta, because it doesn't always, you know, the kids don't always have the Wild Touch, or at least not the same one. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
But what do you mean Wild Touch?
Like wild magic.
Oh,
point.
I thought you got your horns from your parents.
No, my parents were both normal humans.
How fascinating. The mage storms never got up this high, so we didn't know what their effects would be. We just assumed they would destroy everything.
A lot. Well, probably by changing people and things into other things and messing with them so they couldn't live anymore, mostly.
Mm.
But you find plants now, while the wild magic's receding, that they look like plants. They're just the wrong color, or they're really big, or they're really small, and you gotta figure out if they turned poisonous or something. I'm pretty good at that.
The three on the couches have turned to look at Karasinda while she's talking, and immediately divert their discussion to the philosophical implications of being able to change something's nature. This is what you get when you have 500 years of people living in a place where the only reading material is a philosophical library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand the naming convention you chose for the sky, and I like that I was able to notice it. But at the same time, I was kind of expecting, based on what's going on here, to have everyone named Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. Nietzsche's a very boring one.
We've got extra books that other people might want to look at if, you know, Karasinda is sort of idly commenting to Devon. You know, seems unfair to hoard all of them right here. You know, Sir, I assume you can only read so fast.
Well, yeah, and I guess I can only read one book at a time.
It does tend to make it jumbled up if you try more.
She inches closer to Devon's pile of books.
I mean, your sibling might want to read something, too.
They glance at each other. I mean, if she wants to. Very slowly, they all get up from the couches, come over to the pile of Devon's books. Each of them carefully takes one and takes it back over to the fire. Well, okay, then. Thank you on their behalf. Annabelle raises a hand. Oh, yes, thank you.
Not bad. Right,
I quite understand.
We're a bunch of strangers and we aren't even Sky.
I've never even heard of this author.
I can see that we're going to have quite the lending library going, considering. Devon, do you have any way to, like, maybe duplicate a book?
Not. Suppose I could look for work on some day.
I guess we could. I mean, we never had a reason to duplicate a book, but
what, they don't wear out?
You hadn't noticed the preservation on the bedroom and the dining room. That's why they don't have walls. Keeps the snow out and keeps them warm and keeps it all. I mean, we can rearrange the stuff, but it never goes bad.
Did notice that it wasn't as cold as I expected.
This is when Jose comes in, brushes the snow off the shoulders of his cloak.
Wave.
Ah, I saw your car outside. I thought perhaps you had returned.
The what now?
Your flying car.
Cart, right.
Ah, car is short for carriage.
Oh, that makes sense. Thank you. I brought some vegetables, by the way.
Because it carries people and goods at the same time.
That makes sense, too.
Carriages used to carry the goods on top, but with a car, especially a flying one, you can place the goods in the back.
Mm-hmm. Managed to figure that part out, yep.
You were saying about seeds.
Mm-hmm. Show off the, you know, point at whoever's got the seeds now.
It's Annabelle.
Yes, point at Annabelle.
Ah, yes, Annabelle is one of our planters. He'll be most delighted to be able to expand the gardens. Thank you for your gift.
Of course. If you want to read a book as well, we've got a few, I think we've got a few extras.
No. I've done my reading and calculating for the day. Thank you.
He prefers audiobooks.
Ah, so you're not like Devon, where you get a book and, well, it has to go in the eyes. Metaphorically.
He has someone named Libby read them to him.
I keep the tallies and monitor our stockpiles during this season, at least.
He's from logistics.
So, oh, no.
I maintain the space in my mind for the numbers that I need to make sure that we have enough.
Mm.
It is a loss, a regrettable one, perhaps, but it is a sacrifice I gladly make.
You don't have chalk or...
Where would they get it?
Paper?
They've been up here for 500 years. That's what we should have brought. Paper, ink, pens.
Those we have in abundance. I was just doing my tallying on paper up in one of the silos. But when we are out gathering or counting the livestock, and, well, I cannot very well bring every number with me. So I reserve space in my mind.
All right.
This is born of long practice, trust me.
Nod.
Well, once you get a workflow, it's easier to keep it.
I was taught without being allowed to use paper until I could memorize every number that I needed to. The paper is for the benefit of others. If something befalls me, someone else will be able to take up the work.
Well, I hope nothing will befall you.
I hope so too, but many things happen up here in the mountains. You may have noticed scars on a few of us.
Yes. Well, I brought some medicinals as well, so...
And we appreciate it.
Just out of curiosity, you know, I assume, think. Oh, there's just no good way to put it. Do you know somebody named Iago?
He is already the second palest person in the room, and he goes a little bit paler.
I think that's a yes.
That's a name we don't talk about.
Well, that's the one in charge of our home burning down.
Mm-hmm. That explains much. Although I am surprised he is still around.
He is abusing time magic.
Perhaps it is less surprising then.
So, by surprised he's still around, does that mean that he's, like, old?
He is. It is tempting to think of him as a myth, or was. He was said to be there at the founding of Dunport, and there at the start of the Mage War, and again at their end. He is, well, you have these legendary figures, no doubt. The ones who are said to appear at junctions in history. Yeah, we thought it was just a fairy tale.
No telling whether he actually gave his real name. He said he wanted to clear out the place for, well...
Well, he didn't give his real name at first.
That's right. He said Tim, didn't he?
Jim,
right.
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that lends credence to your story. He fought the founding of Dunport, claiming that the sky had arrived first. And that the humans had destroyed a sky settlement to settle there.
I don't know if he's right or wrong about that, but it seems a bit unfair to take it out on a bunch of people by separating them from their friends and family to throw them through time.
If
he kept people together, at least they'd be together.
He never did seem shy about killing in the stories.
Well.
Sarai, when you made your little raid last night, I don't suppose you brought back any books that would have mentioned him. She blushes and says, no, just time travel books. Well, a sky legend come to life, at any rate.
I'd prefer a more heroic legend.
Well, he might be heroic for people who think that they should have the land.
True. Everyone's the protagonist of their own story.
Uh-huh.
Except me. I'm a quest giver.
You're a storyteller.
Oh, that's right. Sky... I'm a narrator.
Heroic legendary figures are the ones who argued a philosophical point correctly or undid an injustice through the application of an obscure law.
Oh, I like that.
They don't typically go around setting villages on fire.
I think I'm glad to know that.
We were the ones who preserved knowledge back in the old days. That's why we were, that's why Sacnicte liked us.
Reach over and pat Devin on the head. Definitely know why you get along with this one, eh?
Well.
The only reason I can do that is because you're sitting down, probably.
Sarai blushes a little brighter. You can just barely hear Ibelis lean over to... the other two and say, see, I told you there were two of them.
I'm a scholar from what I suppose it's what of the academy survived. I I suppose more of it may have survived now.
We should probably be trying to sneak back in, considering.
That hadn't even occurred to me. The branch of the Academy in Dunport, well, if it, when you said all the, royals or none of the royals survived, I assumed you meant the Academy too. Is it still there?
Well,
last we checked,
something was last time we looked. We haven't checked recently. We haven't checked recently. We might need to check recently because if the tower's more intact, then what does that mean?
Do they have a well?
Mm-hmm. Tower does.
The Academy.
But the Academy?
Didn't, as far as I know, but.
Oh, that's too bad. I would have liked to talk to them.
You're lucky that we know what you meant by a well. We only recently started finding them.
I'm not sure if we can talk with them or not. We gotta see what's changed, because last time, the Queen had a gizmo thing that looked a bit like something Yago had. He was acting like maybe he had some kind of pull there.
She was acting like she had fallen under his sway somehow.
Little bit, just enough to make us extremely suspicious.
Well, wait, you said you know of other wells? Like the one in the tower? Mm-hmm. Well, is there anybody at the tower?
Don't think so, unless we left Adelina there.
We would have had Adelina driving us, I think.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, nope, Adelina is around somewhere. Just off screen.
Mm-hmm. Not the tower, but there's a group around one of the wells that we've said hello to before. I don't know if you want to reveal yourselves yet.
No. Sarai, let us proceed with caution. But the outside. Okay.
There's a lot of people who might not react well to finding out that there's other types of people except Felta and humans, and you know, people who've got a parent or a grandparent who's one or the other.
Okay.
No, I'd love to take you to visit the tower at least, but I'm not sure if you want to have random people knowing you. At least we find out.
Can I go to the tower?
Well, please? Jose says.
I have known you were going to ask since they mentioned it. You may go for one day, but you must be back by this time tomorrow. And the three others look kind of envious, but aren't speaking up. Sarai, meanwhile, jumps up and gives Jose a big hug. Okay, thank you. I will be back right away. Not right away. First thing in the morning. By this time tomorrow.
And there's a well, so you could probably talk to people, you know, at the other well.
Oh, yeah. Our well's just off the map to the west.
Where Adelina is.
Yeah. I don't... How long does it take to get to the tower?
About an hour. About an hour? It's a car, right? As the car flies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're waiting by the... Jose, if you're waiting by the well in one hour after they say we can leave, then I will call you when I get there and make sure you know that I'm okay. Okay? And they haven't kidnapped me or done anything bad to me. I really want to see it.
Call us when you get there. We want to know you arrived safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Old Rob's going to go over to the other three kiddos. All right, you three. Tell Sarai what kind of book you want her to find and bring back for you. One each.
There is a pause. And then they all start talking at once.
Not to me. Get in line and tell Sarai one at a time.
Sarai seems to be picking this up. Okay, got it. Yeah, I know your tastes. All right, I'll see what I can find. Okay, so I can go, Jose? Yes, you may go, as long as you're back by this time tomorrow. Thank you. So, can we go?
Well, let me get...
Yes, let's go.
Let me get myself up here off the floor. Oof. All right.
That's why I don't sit down.
Serious crunching.
Crunch, 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 crunch.
There's the sound of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarai will follow you out the door like a, basically like a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to say it, but I was going to say it. And the books are on loan. They're not chefs.
She is late teens, maybe. But you also are not sure how quickly Sky age.
Yeah.
She looks late teens.
Okay. And we will all cram into the car.
Wouldn't she
Bye-bye. Have a good night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, where's your toothbrush?
My what?
I'm sure we can scavenge up. We can scavenge something up.
Okay, I'm just saying, you get mad at me for my morning breath.
I do this, and she grins and grits her teeth and just rubs her finger across them, and they are cleaner.
Ah, magic toothbrush.
I guess.
Old Rob just stares.
What a useful spell.
Huh? Well, maybe I can teach you how to do it, if you can teach me how to do that book thing.
I would love to.
All right, all
right. Down Rob, his finger.
Rob, you sit up front. I'll squish myself over into the corner here. Devin and Sarai can sit next to each other in the back and talk stuff, and Adelina can drive.
15 minutes into the drive, old Rob is still looking at his finger, and eventually he says, and possibly interrupting a conversation to say it, I think it would just make the teeth dirtier.
Well, that's your finger there. Look at the mage storms over there. I can still see them up above. Wow.
I am not looking in that direction right now.
Sarai is looking over the edge of the car and just gawping at the scenery that's going by.
Is it one or two different characters holding on to Sarai's clothing to keep Sarai from going further over the edge of the car?
At least one, possibly three.
There's got to be safety straps, right?
Yes,
we had Sarai fastened the safety. Yes, the safety belt is fastened.
If Sarai is looking over the edge, I don't think there's safety straps that are still attached.
Well, it depends. Depends on how far she's leaning.
That's a town, and oh, look at that forest, and and oh gosh, that's a big river, and another river, and oh, there's the tower.
Mm-hmm. There better not be a dragon around it or something.
No, there's not a dragon around it.
Thank goodness.
Yet.
Yet is definitely a yet. We've got a yet here, sure. Yep.
No, I'm on the ground floor just hanging out. It's fine.
You don't belong here, Monty. This isn't your universe.
But nothing untoward happens on the way home. And you get back to the tower in an hour or so, and everything is as you left it.
Show her around the tower. Show her... As soon as she gets finished gawping at all of the books, show the spot where, yes, see, this is where we built the fireplace when it was a ruined tower, and, well.
Old Rob will interject before we do that.
Mm-mm.
And lead her down to the ground floor to the fountain.
Mm. Oh, right. Good idea.
So you admit I had a good idea.
Yes, I admit you had a good idea for once. It can happen now and again.
Old Rob beams like the cat who caught the purple canary and walks off in a way that is probably infuriating specifically to Karasinda.
Don't trip over your own smugness, whippersnapper.
That's a speed defense roll, isn't it? I beat difficulty 3.
You succeed in not tripping over your own smugness.
One could argue that was an intellect roll, but never mind.
Okay. I know how to do this. They taught me how to do this. Mm-hmm. I just put my hands on the air and think about where I want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And the surface of the water starts roiling, and the image of Jose pops up. I see you've made it. I'm here. And they were very nice. And the tower is very tall. It's so much taller than any of our buildings, but not as tall as the mountains. And they have so many books, but not as many, but different kinds of books. And they have a kitchen, and they have a telescope, and they have a fireplace, and they have a really long table. And, okay, I told you I'm going to be back tomorrow, and I will. Yes. Thank you for remembering your promise. And I trust that you all will remember that promise as well.
Of course. Definitely.
Very well. I know that you are safe and sound, and I trust you to take care of her.
Nod. Absolutely.
Have fun, little one. Aww. And he disconnects. Well, that was... Gosh, I never used one of those before.
Well, you're a natural.
We didn't even know there was still another active one.
Oh.
There's several.
There's freaking...
Can we do it again?
You got a lot of things on your plate first.
Oh, right.
All we have to finish the tour.
Yeah.
And then...
Mm-hmm. And it's lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And my suggestion is, before you go crawling around looking for all the books that are interesting to you, you find the three books you were asked to get. That way, you don't forget about those.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll do that.
From my failures.
Tour and she starts first. Back up the staircase. Oh, right. And that's where we're going to end it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight, I've been joined by Beth, Crash, and Io, with Jen in absentia. And who has something they'd like to plug?
Io's mom writes books at elizabethmccoy.com. And you can ask your local library for them, too. You know, stuff like Queen of Roses and Per Ride and Prejudice. You know, things like that. And speaking of cool things...
Ice.
No, I think ice is specifically not cool at the moment.
That's quite true.
Yeah.
But...
Snow.
I was referring to the frozen snow. H2O.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other one was never cool.
That's true.
All right. So now that we've got
any websites,
AaronBSmith.com is where I put all of these podcasts and a few other things that I make as well. You can also follow us on the Fediverse. It is AaronBSmith.com/@cogwheel. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Luke Drummond, and Patron Emeritus Cindy.
And until next time, this is Ellie saying, thank goodness. I don't know how many times more I could convince her to rake that garden. Good night, everybody.
Night.